walking for the cash that you've already spent. Hands in your pocket for your 50 cents. Are you working all week just to make ends meet? Then you gotta cut back on your daily spending spree. So it's off the fights and booze. Off the fights and booze for Lent. Not everybody likes the way an old thing looks, but everybody likes the way a new thing works. It's your plastic mindset, now it's a bad debt. 'Cause at the end of the day, money talks and bullshit walks. So it's off the fights and booze. Off the fights and booze for Lent.
LPM podcast. This is La Petite Mort and El Sammy Bisto. This is episode 17, pre-Valentine's Day. And you were just listening to The Gack, Off the Fags and the Booze. Tonight we're going to talk about a wonderful, loving movie for Valentine's Day called Murder Party.
Everybody Dies.
That's right. It was from 2007, and IMDb says for trivia that it was filmed in February of 2006 with no money. So I think they did a pretty damn good job.
It's true, no?
It's true. It also, the little summary says, a random invitation to a Halloween party leads a man into the hands of a rogue collective intent on murdering him for the sake of their art, sparking a bloodbath of mishap, mayhem, and hilarity.
Mayhem?
And hilarity.
Woohoo!
And, so as you can kind of guess, the movie starts on Halloween, and there's all these random shots at the beginning, and you see somebody buying VHS tapes.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were for $1 a piece. And then you see this black envelope folded paper thing blowing down the sidewalk, and...
Could you even get VHS now?
Yeah, at Big Lots, probably. Or a thrift store.
Or you can buy crappy movies for a dollar and tape over them?
Yeah.
Like they did in their Fendor when she bought the box of porn tapes for, like, a dollar a piece.
For him to do his, his videotaping?
Yes.
It's that guy who was buying VHSs. He bends to pick up the paper that's flapping about just as the alarm on his watch goes off, and he's got to take some meds, but I don't know what the meds are for. I don't think I ever figured out what the meds were for. I don't know.
Viagra?
I had to doubt it, seriously. And it's this random invite to a Halloween party, and he's, like, super cool. And when he gets home, I don't know if you'd want to go trick-or-treating at his house, because he just opens up two big bags of candy corn and dumps them in a bowl. But I do love candy corn.
I don't like candy corn.
I like it. And even his big old fluffy cat gives him no respect when he tries to get him out of his chair.
Sir Lancelot.
Sir Lancelot. So he can hang and watch his videos instead. Since the cat won't move, he goes to the computer and he looks up the address of where this mystery party is on Google. And he picks up the smashed pumpkin off his stoop and he makes pumpkin bread. Mm-hmm. And he goes into this big cardboard box in his back room, I guess, marked Halloween costume. And there's only
that's a blow up doll you came in?
I don't know. But there's a huge, creepy-looking, big, hairy mask he pulls out and throws to the side. And I love the costume he makes. He gets all creative with the cardboard and the duct tape. And he creates an uber-awesome cardboard knight outfit. And he takes and wraps his pumpkin bread in plastic and takes his directions on Google and leaves to go find the party. And by the way, I think his Halloween costume should be the next sensation in costumes for Halloween. That and Otis. So he's on the subway and he's got some militant black dude. He's sitting holding his pumpkin bread and he's got some militant looking black dude rapping in his face and they're the only two people on the subway. It was kind of funny. So he walks around with, you know, trying to find the party, and it's in this random warehouse with flashing lights and kind of random punk kids playing music and handheld video games, and it's just a handful of them. And when he looks down, he sees like plastic with a chainsaw and an axe. And you'd think right there he'd be like,
uh-oh.
Yeah. Time to leave. But they close this big metal door and burn the invitation. And Macon, the guy in the werewolf mask, is come like sneaking up behind him with an axe. But the head of that axe, the axe gets caught in a string that turns on the light bulb. And in his shadow, Chris, the guy in the cardboard outfit, notices the others, and they all yell, "Get him! Welcome to your murder!"
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and they've got, like, cameras and video cameras, and they're all flashing photos as they tie him up, because it's all about art and impressing Alexander for a grant. And they're kind of whiny college kids, it seems like, because some of them are whining about they want to go to Cicero's party, but they're trying to decide whether to murder Chris or not, and one chick, Sky, is eating his pumpkin bread, but when she discovers there's raisin in it and they're not organic, she, like, freaks out because she says she's allergic to preservatives. And
they
make her dizzy. So she says she's going to sit down, and they put some cardboard boxes for her to sit on, but she misses them and flop, and she hits her head on some big metal pokey thing. But she gets up and she's going to sit down, and all of a sudden you notice there's a big hole in her head, and she starts bleeding all over and dies.
So it's really her murder.
And they start yelling at Chris because his bread killed her. Death by pumpkin bread.
It's a first.
It is a first, huh? So they think they're all pissed off, and I think it was Macon begins like splashing him what they think is acid all over him, but it's not, well, not the kind of acid they think. It's acetic acid, which is vinegar. At least they can pickle him to death.
They douched him.
They douched him. So at that point, Alexander shows up and they hide Sky's body in a, what do you call that? A freezer? A chest freezer? So that he doesn't think that they're a bunch of dill weeds.
No, they were keeping her fresh for later.
No.
Why not?
They were like, he's going to think we're a bunch of dill weeds.
But maybe the other guy would make bread out of her later.
Maybe so, because she was already eating the raisins.
People bread.
People bread. Like Sweeney Todd. Meat pies.
Meat pies.
But it kind of seems to me that Alexander's a big dillweed douchebag. But his puppy's really cute. Hellhammer. And he has him dressed up in the little skeleton costume. And he comes with his new best friend, Psycho, who has a gun. And Alexander gets all pissed because one of the guys, Paul, who has big, huge mutton chops, is a vampire. And Alexander was supposed to be a vampire. So he makes him strip down to his t-shirt and bikini bottoms. And all these assholes do whatever Alexander tells them to do. They're like weenies.
Wussies.
Huh?
Wussies.
Yeah, wussies. And so Alexander asks each one what they're planning, and each goes through their thought art process, because they're all scoring for this grant that he says that he can supply them. And Alexander is seeming like a big pretentious trust fund prick. He's a vinegar water balloon just waiting for a vagina man. I made that up. Isn't that funny?
It's good.
It's good. And he recommends that they all wait until the witching hour and that they take turns stabbing Chris. Stabbing him until he dies. But in the meantime, they must have cake. Because it's not a party without cake.
Yes.
And they begin arguing about, like, what else are they going to eat? Pizza, Mexican, Chinese. And while they're all bickering about that, Chris winds up getting untied from his ties that bind him and tries to escape. And they spot him. And they trail him through the warehouse, all full of boxes, each with a weapon of murder. But Chris, like, gets himself into this closet room, and he tries to get around them, only to be caught.
Aww.
Yeah, so this time they use chains and padlocks. Now, there's another girl called Lexi, who's a big hoe.
Hi.
Yeah. And,
hi.
Yeah, she winds up doing Alexander. She does coke a lot, too. And Alexander does, too. And Macon gets all sad, because he loves Lexi. And then they decide to play Extreme Truth or Dare. Which...
Extreme!
Yeah. It's extreme because Psycho pulls out some needles and truth serum. And they begin poking each other and playing Truth or Dare. Except Alexander didn't shoot himself up. He put his needle into the pizza. And Paul doesn't want to do it, but they pick on him till he does. Because, you know, peer pressure.
Everybody does it.
That's right.
Don't disappoint me.
And then they wind up going and shooting up Chris in the neck and pulling his chair over to their circle to do truth or dare too.
Extreme!
And it turns out Chris works for NYPD. And they get all freaked out. But really, he works for a branch of NYPD.
He's a meter man.
Yeah. And then they decide it's coke time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And me, so, you know, they're all doing coke, and there's a guy called Bill who's dressed up as a baseball player with the yellow face and black. I don't know. I didn't know who he was supposed to be. But they send him outside, but he was sitting on the floor painting, to check on the dog because the dog's, like, barking. And they all sit there and diss his painting, and he overhears them, which... him off, which I think
is that why everybody dies?
Yeah, which may bring on his homicidal rampage later. Paul, the guy with the big mutton chops, decides to call in an assistant to help him, and they all kind of get pissed off about that because, you know, they're not supposed to have outsiders there for what they're about to do. And, you know, she'd be like maybe tell on him or whatever. And Macon goes outside to smoke, but he has on his rubber werewolf mask, and he had been pouring alcohol all over himself, and when he goes to light his cigarette,
boom!
Poof! And he catches on fire, and Hellhammer's barking like crazy, and Lexi goes out to get Hellhammer when she comes running back in and says, Macon's on fire! But they're kind of not even listening to her, and she goes to get the fire extinguisher, which doesn't work, and still nobody's paying attention, and she comes back in and grabs Paul's assistant, and they find two other fire extinguishers, and Hellhammer goes to the freezer where Sky is shoved in, and they drag poor Macon in, and he's all deformed, and half his mask is like melted to his
face.
He's crispy, yeah, and gooey. And when they figured out that Alexander didn't take the truth serum, there was something that wasn't right. Paul, mutton chop guy, shoves the needle into his neck, and they find out the truth about Alexander. And Zyko comes back, drops Alexander, whose real name is Tim, a bag of crank. And Alexander tells Zyko, shoot all of them because art isn't worth anything till the artist is dead. So Zyko starts a shooting spree. And Alexander really is a fry cook. Has absolutely no money and lives with his grandma. And he was planning on putting Hellhammer to sleep the next day because he only likes puppies. He's not cute anymore. I know. Hellhammer needed to go piss on him. But Hellhammer ate the bag of crank. I don't remember them showing what happened to him later. But Macon's all burned, and like I said, half the mask is stuck to his face. And he's trying to get out since Psycho's on this killing spree. And he can't get out, so he grabs this electric chainsaw and cuts into Psycho's leg and pretty much cuts it off. And Lexi decides to unlock Chris from his chair because she's like, everything's going to pot, so I don't want to be involved in this, and let's just get the hell out. Hellhammer, after he ate the crank, this is what happened. I did forget this part. He attacks Alexander and eats part of his face. And Bill, in the meantime, that's when you start to hear, everybody dies. And he axes Lexi in the head and takes the baseball bat to Alexander's head. And Chris is still in his little cardboard night outfit and trying to find a way out of this hell. And he winds up on this conveyor belt, and Bill follows him with an axe. And Chris turns the conveyor belt backwards, and he makes it to like one level of a roof. And he had to pee so bad, so he stopped to take a pee. That would
You gotta go.
And it was a never-ending pee. And by that time, Bill made it up there with the axe. And he can't make his stream stop. But so he's shaking and shaking to try to make it. And I guess, I don't know, but he gets up to the next level of the roof. And Bill's following him. And Macon's following Bill, all disfigured, with a big orange extension cord and the chainsaw. And Chris is hiding, and Bill almost goes by him when his stupid watch alarm goes off.
Time to take Viagra.
Yeah, but he runs, and he does stop long enough to take his meds, whatever they were. And he makes it to the roof of a real party, and he's telling people, call 911, call 911, call 911. And he makes it into the stairwell. There's a guy there dressed as a cell phone, but that doesn't quite help.
I want a cell phone. Anybody got a cell phone?
Yeah. And where he winds up at is the guy Cicero's party from the beginning, and it's all these art installations. Everybody dies. So Chris is the only one left. Well, he's not the only one left alive, but Bill's coming after him with an axe. Because they went into this room and it was like all these painted naked ladies and dudes with like pumpkins on their heads just kind of standing around, and Bill came in and killed them all.
Giggity, giggity, giggity. no.
Except for Chris. And Macon's on the roof with the big orange extension cord and his chainsaw, and he plugs it into an outlet, and he falls over the side of the building and splats to his death. But the chainsaw winds up dangling right outside the window, so Chris grabs it and saws into Bill's head.
Take that.
Take that. That's right. And Chris puts the big pumpkin on Bill's head and goes outside. And in the meantime, Cicero's like, what's going on? People are in there. Open it up. And people are going in going, oh, it's so wonderful. And when Chris comes out all covered in blood, he walks up to this guy. He grabs his cell phone. He dials 911 and goes, it's for you. And it's time to go home. But he doesn't have any change for the subway.
Aww.
So he's got to hoof it all the way home in his bloody cardboard night outfit. And his alarm on his watch goes off again. And he takes out his medicine bottle and chucks it. So here we are the morning after Halloween, and there's smashed pumpkins and eggs all over the street. And he picks up his bowl of candy corn that he had left on his stoop with a note that said, please take some. And there's like a handful left. So he goes inside, he grabs his carton of milk, puts on his fuzzy slippers, and asks, Sir Lancelot, please get down. Thank you. Because he gets down and he sits. I guess Sir Lancelot was like, this dude ain't screwing around no more. So he sits down. He has his handful of candy corn and he's going to watch his VHS tapes. And that's how it ends.
Oh, yeah.
I highly recommend the movie because it's silly.
What and if his VHS tapes were like snuff films?
That would have been hilarious.
And you found out he was like really a serial killer.
That would have been awesome. But I liked the movie. I found it. I know it was silly in some parts, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I highly recommend you watch it if you Netflix or whatever you do.
Do what you do.
For a low budget movie, it was excellent. We're going to have a murder party.
I'm not coming.
Yeah, maybe not, huh? So we'll be back with some events in a minuto.
I don't know where I'm going, but I'm bound to get there soon. I'm hoping in a hurry that I find some fortune. If luck is on my side, then I'll be guided by a star. Cause anyway I run, I know I won't get very far. Am I alive? Just barely. Am I alive? Am I alive? Just barely. Am I alive? Now I'm running backwards cause I've left someone behind. Old friends can't be lost with the new ones that you find. My memories are fading with each day that comes and goes. Where they all fade to, well I get that no one knows. Am I alive? Just barely. Am I alive? Am I alive? Just barely. Am I alive? I am.
listening to the smooth beats of Denier, Directions, Big Head Down, Tense Rope, Birdie's Beat Patrol, Snow for the Best Friend.
You should have a La Petite Beat Patrol.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So you can lay down the beat downs.
Yeah, I don't think. For some wonderful events coming up, actually this week, Thursday at Bender's, is Burly Cute's Music of Moulin Rouge Burlesque at 8 p.m. Bender's is at 314 East 13th in Denver. You know that. You know people. Lupec Denver Prom Redo. Ladies United for the Preservation of Endangered Cocktails. That's February 18th at 8 p.m. at the Beauty Bar, which is also on 13th, right down the street from Bender's. So, you should go. You dress in fun, crazy prom dresses. You get to take pictures. There's all kinds of fun drinks. That's a lot of fun. And then on the 19th is Artopia. They're all the SoCo clubs. Vinyl, Bar Standard, The Living Room, Moe's, City Hall. All kinds of spectacular entertainment going on there. Anything you can think of. Bands, burlesque, which will be there as well. Art, of course. They usually have fire twirlers, people hula hooping fire, all kinds of crazy stuff going on. Then there's the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer at the Dry Dock. Seriously?
For real?
Maybe we should do that. Oh, we can't. We might be at the radio station that day.
Oh,
maybe we could. It depends. Maybe not, because it's from 10 to 12, I think, in Boulder. But they're having the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer February 26th at noon at Dry Dock Brewery. And that's 15120 East Hampton in Aurora. Yeah, shut up. Dry Dock will be hosting the fundraiser, and they have fabulous microbrews. They're one of the few, if only, microbrew places I do like. So go there and enjoy, and it's for a good cause. We'll leave you again. We're going to come back and talk about some comics.
A boot.
Cries for vomit. Cast back cries for vomit. Töpfern fünf Jahre war sie die stärkste weit und breit. Keiner zog ihr an den Haaren, keiner suchte mit ihr Streit. Bald darauf war sie im Märchenland, bei Leuten hat sie erbrochen, bekannt. Und der König ließ den zum Ritter schlagen, der ihr die Fresse polierte, ohne lang zu fragen. Eines Tages war es dann soweit, der Vater kam und sprach: Es tut mir leid, wir haben nichts mehr zu essen, keine Kinder und kein Geld. Verpisst euch in die große weite Welt. Gretel Matat, Gretel, Gretel Schachmann. Gretel ist zu schwer. Schon begann die Szene und sie ritt durch den Wald und sie stopfte durch den Schnee und es war bald so kalt. Und sie kamen an ein Häuschen, das ganz aus Pfefferkuchen war. Fragten sich mit Recht, wer wohl der Herr von diesem Häuschen war. Als sie durch das Fenster lugten, sah sie froh an der Weg. Eine pensionierte Bäckerin und nebenberuflich eine gelernte Fee. Alter, viel zu klein, sein Glück war und das wusste er genau. Gretel war ein Schreck von einer Frau. Gretel im Ersatz. Gretel ist Schachmatt. Gretel im Armeer. Gretel ist zu schwer. Gretel im Ersatz. Gretel ist Schachmatt. Gretel ist zu schwer. Hänsel und Gretel folgten sich dem Wald. Es war so finster, doch so bitterkalt.
That was Predator. Barbie's dead. Plastercaster. Faster.
Faster.
Das Frivol. Bergfräulein. Gretel. How about that? I'm gonna talk a little bit about Raise the Dead 2.
Duh.
The second time around. It's actually pretty cool. Of course, there's a government conspiracy going on. And there are crazy zombies with red eyes. But the birds carry the disease.
Like bird flu.
Yeah, so far I'm only, I just got issue 3. But there's a lady who is surviving in a lighthouse, which is pretty cool. And she's got the whole outside of it covered with netting and stuff. Yeah, and bird poo counts, and scratches count.
Bird poo?
Yeah, you can get it from that.
Ew.
And what you're coming to find out was her husband worked on the boats. And I guess her husband and kid got killed. I'm not sure what happened yet so far, because we're just alluded to these facts. So she's living in the lighthouse, but she does go back on land to get food and supplies when she can. And at this point, this little kid, well, two kids and this guy have shown up in a boat. But the guy gets attacked by the birds, and the little boy's sister's on the boat, who's sick, but not infected, just sick. And we know there's some kind of government conspiracy where they're taking zombies and doing tests for a cure, but I think they're also infecting people who are not infected to try to come up with a cure. And some of the people are immune. So I'm in early stages.
Of zombification?
Of zombification. And there is this crazy mad scientist who I thought was a zombie at first, but he's just a crazy mad scientist looking dude. Old guy. And
they don't make mad scientist movies anymore, do they?
No, they sure don't, huh? None that I'm aware of. But if nothing else to this comic so far,
you should bring it back.
The first three issues have awesome cover art. Oh, Puppies of Purgatory. They have really great cover art. And so far, I'm enjoying the story so far. So, like I said, just got issue three, which has a painting of a woman in a bikini, like the little girl on the Coppertone ads that the puppy's pulling down her bottoms, except on this one, a zombie's pulling down her bottom.
That's not cute.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of funny. He doesn't have legs. He's on the ground and his arms up pulling.
Until he bites her on the butt.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that's all for today.
That's it.
Anything else you wanted to talk about?
No.
No? You sure?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry it took us so long this time. We had out of town stuff going on. And we had to not be here to tape.
Aww.
So we'll be around. So now we should have a couple of more coming at you. Coming at you live.
Or on you.
Oh, that's nasty. It's gross.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you're gross. So you can contact me at lpmpodcast@gmail.com. You can call this number and leave us a message. 720-432-2715. You can leave us a review on iTunes. And you can do that link at our website, which is lpmpodcast.com, or leave us a comment there. We're going to leave you with a band.
Facebook us.
Oh, you can Facebook us too. You can like us at Facebook. We're going to leave you with a band called Durden, My Apocalypse Now. Bye.